자라는 모양도 두배 수지 짓고 보타고 사 뒤에 씻어 담배 씻어 한번 빼내면 끊어 기름 한번 싸들게 쓴 마시고
As always, please set out the highest motivation of attaining the state of a Buddhahood through your own practices, such as listening to discourses and spiritual precepts, in order to achieve the state of a Buddhahood. Before I get back to Lamrim, first of all, an introductory talk. And I'd like to start off by saying that we all seek happiness or dewa and state of well-being. And to this end, we do whatever we can day in and day out. And yet our aim of finding lasting happiness seems to be more and more distant. Not only does it become more distant, on the other hand, problems seem to multiply. So why is it that while we have sought happiness and have done whatever we can, we experience the reverse, and that is, in fact, some kind of a suffering of a body and mind. And that means that there is a mistake that has occurred in our approach and thinking. From this, we can infer that if we follow suit the status quo in terms of our attitude, in terms of our actions or the patterns of our behavior, we can well infer that the same outcome would follow suit. So if something has gone wrong in our thinking, what has gone wrong? There could be many explanations, but from a Buddhist perspective, what has gone wrong in our thinking is the so-called has gone wrong is cultivating so-called enlightened self-interest, which is a Western concept, but in Buddhism, it is called self-centeredness, self-cherishing attitude. And it is self-cherishing attitude which has given us the guise of promoting your well-being, but has brought nothing but trouble and ruination. If you like to experience a degree of well-being that hitherto you have not experienced, and if you want to experience a state of freedom that you have not hitherto experienced, freedom from suffering. We have to make a drastic change in our attitude, and that is to evict self-centeredness from one's heart and see then what happens.
다들 명화 샤바다 다가지면서 이제 샤든 샤와서 하는 눈빛으로 이제 써왔다 텐데 찌부가 짜오는 명화 치트는 딱 이카드 해는 명화인데 아니 다 이제 진수 생이 되는 소재로 쓰는 건 딱 이 명화 치하고 그래서
So, self-centeredness which occupies the inner sanctuary of our heart because we are led to think believe that this is what will bring us happiness. So this has now been realized as a demon that is lying within one. So that demon cannot be evicted by praying, by performing rituals, by reciting mantras alone. It has to be eradicated from one's heart by cultivating a new set of attitude which is diametrically opposed to the way self-centeredness performs and behaves. And that new and fresh perspective is called other cherishing. Cherishing others and doing everything for others' happiness. A lot of people think cherishing others is entirely for others, and that if you cherish others, you will not achieve your own ends. It's never like that. When one truly and genuinely performs and things to generate happiness for others, incidentally, as a byproduct of that, one's own happiness is realized too.
그는 하나님 소소 딱 보면 내가니 단제받아 내가 간대지 뉴인 이제 커널 때는 쉬운 거 소지 집으시지서 내가 하지 영어에서
So teachings proclaim that whatever form of good physical spiritual material that one has experienced in all lifetimes throughout beginning lifetime to this point. Whatever goodness, happiness, success in material, spiritual terms necessarily, invariably comes from other sources, which are namely other living beings. And one alone is not in a position to have such a success. So we are practically, not only ontologically, but practically, we are other dependent on other. For whatever we need and for our growth. For example, we seem to, and it's natural, and we do that, and that is to take care of our resources, our relations, our property, and things belonging to self, in the knowledge that they promote some degree of well-being.
所以,
just as you know, we tend to look after, protect what inanimate objects that belong to us, in the knowledge that they promote some degree of happiness, then all the more that we need to protect and care for what we call others, and others refer to all sentient beings. For as I pointed out, all temporal and ultimate spiritual material well-being invariably stems from them, and therefore there's every reason to care for them. So, when you consider amount of benefit and the good one has received from a particular sentient being, let's say a type of fish, let's say a sheep, if you consider how much one has received from one particular sentient being, and when we consider the interaction, nurturing interactions we have had with all beings, you simply cannot fathom the extent of help and good we have received from a particular being. So, in a way, we remain indebted. We owe a huge debt of kindness to them. So, that being a karmic debt of kindness, and to normally as a decent person, and a law-abiding person, you know, you try to clear your debt in the same way, and when you do clear your debt, you have a sense of and the satisfaction in the same way, unless we repay some karmic debt that we owe to a sentient being, we will not see the light of true happiness. And leaving karmic debt unpaid is like almost neglecting the principle of law of causation. So if you if you seek spiritual growth called in the realizations on the path and the stages, culminating in the state of omniscience of a Buddha, these like material happiness, these spiritual riches can only be earned in relation to other living beings. If you ignore or sentient beings and try to achieve some kind of realization, you would be doing it at your own peril, for nothing will come off from any activity that is done, that is not done beneficially in relation to others.
Mm-hmm. 마시바 시바시 아니 시니는 공학은 손으로 떠나야 돼. 내가 치료 때.
So, Shen Jinzen, other cherishing attitude, a fresh perspective, has a different degree of has a different degree or different shades, ranging from helping other people in small ways, to helping sentient beings reach a state of unchanging, unyielding state of happiness, and that is Buddhahood. And the highest form of other cherishing, Xian Jianzhen, is what we call in Sanskrit word Bodhicitta. Bodhi means enlightenment or omniscience. Citta means a strong aspiration, a strong aspiration to achieving that state of omniscience for others.
充分能力就是干的，努力过，大部分工作落，就是，对方用这个，就团队就谈到工作落，工作就他，冲的要的，干也都要的，生意能力肯定是的，你嘛就是干些东西，干也要的，干也，确实是的，大什么东西可以全部都是。Initially,
you will find or one will find great deal of resistance to cultivating other cherishing attitude or you know, a sense of altruism based on empathy and so on, because the deeply ingrained self-centeredness, which is your inner voice that seems to work for you, will tell you to resist, and others are like foreign to one. Therefore, indeed, we will face a resistance. But knowing that, there's no option but to cultivate and embrace the new perspective of cherishing others, we have to persist in cultivating and reinforcing that.
所以，
this I say this because if you persist in cultivating other cherishing perspective and attitude, despite initial resistance and difficulties and blockages, the final outcome would be extremely rewarding for others as well as for self. So rewarding that the reward will never fade, will endure forever. Whereas the reward of self-centeredness is temporal, fleeting, and ultimately, after experiencing a temporal, fleeting reward emanating from self-centeredness, one would pay a heavy price, because one would pay a heavy price. So, when we compare and contrast the outcomes of two attitudes, what is ultimately beneficial is then only too obvious.
So
When I consider myself, I am in my 40s. I'm 40 something. And therefore, how have I managed to survive all these years in terms of food, clothing, shelter, and some degree of education, due to which there is some, you know, title attached to my mind, so rather to my name. How have I managed to do so? I have managed to do so entirely depending on what I have received from various sources for these things. And the same thing applies to you, people who face me today, and you are in 40s and 20s, whatever. And then, you know, whatever we have enjoyed so and thus far in life, it is simply obvious that they have come from various other sources. So, whatever successes that we have achieved materially in terms of material riches, as well as power, position, and fame, these are temporal possession, and therefore these must be left in this world when one takes a bow out of this world. So we can't rely too much on temporal successes that we have. For as just pointed out, these are to be left behind. So in the process of living a casual, carefree life, without paying too much attention to what counts in the long term, in terms of our experience of happiness and freedom from distress of body and mind. If you pay too much attention to this life, then one day when your doctor gives you makes a statement most unpleasant to hear, saying that you have a terminal illness, and then everything that one has worked for will not be of much benefit, for they will be left behind, and one will be going to the next life, leaving everything behind. So if one doesn't have some spiritual provision or resources to fall back on, material things will let you down badly. So it's important to think about such matters of life and death, and what really counts at the crunch time and beyond that, and then make informed choices based on reprioritizing what one has to do. So So among many things, what one could do is start off looking at self-cherishing thought or self-centeredness and how it works against you rather than for you, and how other cherishing works equally well for both self and, more important, for others. And seeing the pros and cons of two perspectives and the implications on what we do and the outcome that we experience, then it's a time that we make effort in substituting one for the other.
那么，对，那你说是农业上的可能，肯定现在培训也不行，那老些些农，那谈到了农民工是做不起，老些些农啊，就没更多通不晓得，因为农业也，但对农业的话呢，到时间统计了，基本上落，基本上也没希望，但你这都怕多，什么可能有那对没，几个没得种，现在下雨了噻。So
when we have when we get along well with other people, that is an expression of how one's nascent sense of cherishing other works well. And from when one cherishes others more, puts others before self in every a social interaction, then it really oils, lubricates social interaction, and therefore there's a friendship all around, all about oneself and people with whom one interacts. And if it works, we can use that as an experience and as a proof, as an evidence, as a proof that if we all, if we could equally put all others, all sentient beings, before one's own interests, then others become a top priority. Doing things for others become top priority. Accomplishing their well-being becomes top priority. As a result, one's interaction with others will be a win-win situation. Such an enlightening perspective, other cherishing, will take time to take root in our mind, for, as pointed out before, somebody else is within us, and that therefore that will try to shut out everything good coming to us. In order to open the door from inside, for other cherishing to take root, one has to do two things. One has to meditate on lines of reasoning, and meditation on lines of reasoning, establishing the validity of other cherishing. And then secondly, one needs to do what we call gather necessary conducive prerogatives called merit. For such enlightening perspective to take root. So in terms of activities that one can undertake, or a program, if you like, you can put in place to help gather merit, is called the seven sublimes. It has been called, this practice has been called during a literal translation in the past, seven limbs. So, of our seven practices, we covered the first one, and we are in the middle of the second one, which is the sublime action or the activity of making offerings. So, of offerings, there are different types, and I did explain some in the last 2 weeks. So, this morning, I'd like to elaborate on the offering of a mandala. Mandala means, this has been translated as offering of a cosmos.
Cosmology, is it? Yeah. Thank you.
Mandala offering. Offering of cosmos that belongs to one and all. Is considered a very dynamic and powerful way of amassing stock of merit quickly. Mandala offering promotes purity of the practice, because when you offer a cosmos that belongs to one and all, it is not tainted by any negative attitudes called worldly hopes and fears. And that is, one doesn't have any spiritual materialism about it. Secondly, as said before, it lends itself really well to amassing merit speedily.
So now you have to be
warned beforehand what Buddhists talk about cosmos will run counter to what science has found about. Please bear in mind. So now, when we offer, we offer what we call the three realms of existence. Form realm, formless realm, and the desire realm. And in the desire realm, desire realm is considered mainly a realm of pain. For example, where there are, a realm of animals, hungry ghosts, and then further down, there's the realm of hell beings. But in the upper realm, there are celestial beings who experience nothing but peace all their lifetime. So now, first of all, we need to consider why have such a different planes of existence come about. They have come about entirely due to quality of our mind who inhabit such a physical environment. Nice.
Ji ta tingro ji da so su ji sei 세주지 집에 개발이 당연히 만나면 무슨 주에 생파도 있는 생두비 차서는 당다 전에 문제 가지 생도 가지 예를
So in terms of dual chamas, attained refined mind can have many shades, ranging from an act of a positive mind, which prompts one to give a piece of bread to a bird or to a dog, a piece of bone to a dog, to the highest other cherishing mind of bodhicitta. So there are all kinds of positive mind. So it is Buddhist belief system that physical environment, which a set of beings, a community of beings share, comes from the quality of collective mindset the community of beings have. And so that's considered as one of the givens, and that is the law of causation. What we experience personally, what we experience communally, comes from personal and communal mindset and actions. So on the negative side, there are different degrees of a negative mind, from inflicting a minor harm to someone, or even harboring an intent of inflicting pain on someone, to committing grave and serious negative actions, like drawing blood from the body of the Tathagata, or patricide, matricide, killing one's father, mother, which are not only are they serious, grave negative actions with grave consequences, from a legal point of view, these are serious crimes. So, then, based on such negative actions, based on varying degrees of a negative mindset, equal or rather corresponding degree of pain and suffering due to physical environment and due to personal lifestyle, etc., come about. So there are series and an assortment of a complex web of karmic patterns, mindsets of a raft of species and sentient beings, and therefore what science says necessarily about cosmos cannot be taken literally as accurate.
대나라 체리바고마도 노지 티사 좀 메신다고 이제 띄고리 노노 두지 왔다 님모 만든 노지다 님모 그는 두지 왔다 콘데 위조나지 텐데지가 다 제자 같이도 메조 깔카오레스
근데슬라
그 또지 제가 메지 쉐오 메신다지 단 또지 제가 와라
나래라
노노 두지 왔다 고조 당스야 님모 맞대 되는 몽고지 준이
So, that is not to underestimate, you know, what science has found and things that are being found. However, what I'm saying is, considering unseen, complex web of sentient beings, not only on this planet, from Buddhist point of view, there are all kinds of sentient beings in, you know, millions of world systems. And science has only found what it has found thus far, and only one planet where life is found. And therefore, what science has found is not the only truth. There could be other versions of the truth. For example, if the historical Buddha Shakyamuni were to appear himself here now, in his true glory, we will not be able to see Buddha being here. And then what about bringing some top scientists with their powerful apparatus? Let them see, they will not see either. That doesn't mean the Buddha wasn't here.
So now
let me talk about the Buddhist version of the mandala offering of the cosmos. And that, according to that, what we offer is four continents, and in the middle of the four continents, at the center of which is what is called Mount Sumeru. And Mount Sumeru, which has four faces, and jutting into space, but four faces are made of four different precious stones. So according to this simple description of a cosmos, to the south of this mount, there is what is called the southern continent. And to the western continent, and so on, the four continents in the four cardinal directions. So when we do the practice of a mandala offering, you need some items. The first item is called mandala base. And the mandala base is a kind of a disc, slightly smaller than, you know, one's plate. And that disc could be made from any kind of a material source. It could be gold, silver, copper, or it can be just, it could also be just a slate or slab of stone.
남아 영원은 다 스스로 성북교회 안주 가리나 뜻대 증주는 이때는 너무 늘어 증주하고 그래서
So then you hold the disc in your left hand holding in it also also the loose items like grains, corns, precious stones, which you will put on the base to represent the mountain in the middle, four continents and subcontinents, etc.
所以，
holding the disc in the left hand, in which also there's some grains and pieces of precious stones and whatever, then you also pick a scoop, a little bit of those items, and then you try to wipe the base, the top surface of the base outwardly on clockwise as many times as possible this way, imagining that you are wiping away the dirt of the mind. And once you have wiped outwardly and cleaned the top surface of the mandala and a base, then you wipe it anti-clockwise inwardly three times, in imagining that one is scooping in spiritual realizations, boons, and so on from the sublime sources.
Could
I have a mandala, please? A more mandala? Thank you.
If people have, if you look at this one here, please. Well, on page 11 of the blue book, and what is that? Page 5. After having, you know, done this three times, and then you say Om Vajra Bhumi Hum, which means it's already there. Here is the mighty and powerful golden base. And then you say Om Vajraki Ahum. Here is the diamond heart fence, Chichari Kwe, Nosho.
Taishi Chon Kwe Kozatane, the Rija Varasa, that Jinko Dan Tsong Chibushi.
So, did you think she let Chit do it until did the show river?
No, but Tijar is a Tijo, and the Polish Gio,
Nare,
Kittish,
Nare,
Tijo.
So, what you do when you do this one, So, when you when you say the first line Om Vajrabhumi, you put some grains and pieces of a precious stone in the middle of the base. And then when you say Om Vajrariki Ahum, here is diamond hard fence, then you put the first ring.
Take it like if you could show us.
Otherwise, it becomes so abstract.
The finished one is up
there. Yeah, there, up there.
Yes,
but it can't be done. It's already said.
Pardon?
Prama, yes, you was cut your bread.
Yeah, I can if you. Look, pleasure, can we find it
quietly? No.
Okay.
Do you want me to?
Maybe we can do it next time. La. Nice. So anyway, when you say here of the outer, here is the diamond fence, and then you put the first, the outer ring is encircled with a fine iron fence. There are two ways of position of the directions. If you are making mandala offering as offering, The east of the mandala would be your opposite, the opposite end from you. That is before, right before the object to whom you make offering. If you are making mandala offering to request things from sublime sources, the east starts right under your nose, as it were, in front of you, and the west would be on the opposite to that. As it says, at the center stands Mount Meru. You put one in the again, Mount Meru, so Mount Meru is the king of all, mountains. And then you pour, you keep scooping, offering, loose offering items from the cloth that you have, in your lap, and then you pour pour one in each direction, east, east, south, west, and north. And then four in the sub directions. And as you follow through, it just goes on.
No,
sir.
So,
in this way, for each of the items, when it says here is the goddess of beauty, goddess of garland, and so on, for each of these, you put something on the mandala base, and as the tears build up, you put something. And so, all in all, components are how many small bits of loose item you put on the mandala base on different tiers depends on whose version you are following. There could be 35 heap, small heap, each heap representing one of the items mentioned in here. It could be 35, which is the system of Dzogchen Pakpa, Chökyi Pakpa, a Tibetan master. Or it could be 25 heap or mound, mounds, which is the system of Lama Tsongkhapa. So, mandala offering, although when we count, you seem to offer one set of a world system, but according to Buddhism, there are billions of world system, and according to the description, and each system could have all these things ranging from the mighty golden base right up to when it says here is the banner of victory in all directions, and so on. So it's not just offering items found in one world, but you could imagine or feel you are offering to the sublime spiritual sources of these billions of world systems with these things. Another important point to remember is don't offer them as ordinary environment. But offer the mandala, the entire things, the entirety of mandala, as what we call Buddha field. In other words, imagine what your offering is the perfect and consummate environment, found in what is called pure lens, or for pure lens or Buddha fields.
Mm, nejen nyen chen ten du su ji shen de mi ne ta po wa yin na a se na po de mi ma sa wa da na du shi mu gu ba de se
if only one has the openness of mind to do a make believe visualization of offering you know billions of world systems as consummate embodiment or enlightened embodiment of a Buddha's, and if one has a pure conviction or make beliefs, then that would really work magic in terms of a gathering merit. I told you the story of King Ashoka. King Ashoka was a Buddhist king in ancient India, whose you know emblem still is in the Indian flag. King Ashoka, in one of his past lifetimes, he was a young child playing in the street, and then they passed by one of the Buddhas. And that child picked up a handful of dust, and he imagined, and he poured that dust in the Buddha's alms bowl, imagining that he was offering gold dust. And as a result of such a pure innocence of the heart of the child, you know, he collected karma. To do great wonders when he was reborn in the future life, who was going to be King Ashoka of ancient India. So once you have filled, you know, like you said up there, please. So when you have built up this as a simple representation of offering of these, then you can pour the mandala outwardly this way or inwardly onto your lap. And at the end, when you finish the last lines up here, you can pour them all the items onto the cloth in your lap, feeling or imagining that you have received what you have requested. And another version is when you are towards the end here, you can offer it, pour it outwardly, but of course on your lap, but not on the floor. On your lap, but from turning this way, imagining this time that all inner obstacles, obstructions in terms of health of mind and psychological health, physical health, and any obstruction, impediment in life have been thrown away. So mandala offering is quite effective, and you know, you offer with the purest intention the entirety of our world systems in order to request. If one has the will to do such a practice in order to receive through the request whatever you are requesting, spiritual growth, and clearance of obstacles and so on, your request would immediately be registered on or by the omniscient mind. And there's little doubt that you will receive positive response. This is understood using a mundane example. If you request someone, and if you plead someone to help you, making a bit of offering here and there, not bribing, of course, that person does respond to you and then helps you. If that is the case, then Buddhas who are said to have, no, I shouldn't say who are said to have, Buddhas with immense compassion would readily respond to your requests.
I'd like to say
this one, and that is, the Buddha has said himself, the suffering of sentient beings cannot be washed with water by Buddhas, and their suffering cannot be removed like you could remove for spindles and thorns with this, with the tweezer. You can pluck out. Buddha said they can't do it. And Buddha, nor can Buddhas transplant their realization into our consciousness. The only way Buddhas can help beings is by showing the way out of, by showing the path, and beings have to walk the path. That might sound like Buddhas are absolutely useless. Why do we do any practice? Indeed, Buddhas cannot remove our negative mindset, like self-cherishing attitude, desire, hatred, miserliness, and so on. And Buddhas also cannot remove the third of the three suffering, and that suffering is called suffering of a pervasive conditioning. So Buddhas cannot do anything in terms of a removal of negative mindsets, propensities, and this suffering. However, short of that, it's not that Buddhas cannot do anything. There are, there are ways Buddhas can help address your, symptomatic problems. So to give you an example, there was this man called Ankulamala who had killed 999, and he needed to kill 1,000 people, and he was on the verge of brandishing his sword on his mother's head. At that time, the Buddha was teaching at the Bhagavad Gita's peak, and Buddha immediately knew what this man was about to do.
嗯，那今天把这些人了，家些同胞些，你刚开始问出来，他们么子，一群的，他们嘛，穷着几元的，给几个大穷了，你话的，你咋的，他们，他们眼睛是金的，他们咋的，漂亮的。And
helped this deadly sinner, on the path. And then there was the case of the 80-year-old man who was rejected by his family, children, wife, who even seemingly was rejected by the Buddhist community, that he lost all hope in mankind, and he was standing on the precipice of a cliff and about to take his life. There again, Buddha knew and immediately appeared before him to help him. So then Buddha was breathing his last, lying down on his right side, and you know, going through almost the beginning part of death process meditation. There and then, Buddha knew that there was this haughty musician who thought to himself, there was no greater musician than him on earth, and he was who had great potential for spiritual growth, but who was prevented by this immense mountain of haughtiness, arrogance. But Buddha knew that he had the potential. Just before he breathed his last, Buddha appeared as another musician who competed with him and finally, you know, overcame his pride. So Buddha's Chawamitsa, Buddha had a nephew called Nanda, not Ananda. Ananda was the Buddha's personal PA, as it were, very reliable person. The other one is called Nanda. You know, it's okay. There was Buddha's half brother called a Buddha's cousin, Nanda. That man was one of the most passionate and lustful man, and who could not be separated from his wife even for a few moments. So, what Buddha did to help overcome his desire for human body was Buddha made it so happen that if the skin body of his wife, the skin of his wife became transparent, translucent. And now, and he was said, now look at your wife. Is she beautiful? And he could see all the organs, you know, moving and functioning, and through the translucent skin. And he realized that that it was not so true. And anyway, the point of the matter is, he overcame his desire for human, body, and therefore he became a monk later on. So, I think we'll stop here today. So, these anecdotes clearly point to the fact that while Buddha said he cannot wash our sins and transplant realizations, it doesn't mean Buddha is totally handicapped and helpless. And there are many other stories how Buddha overcame the teachers of, let's say, the Tirthikas. The point of this story is, if you turn to Buddha for help, and then the moment you develop a wish and then turn to the Buddha, that is a phenomenon, a psychological event or phenomenon in the mind of someone, in the mind of a devout, and that will be immediately known, registered by omniscience, and then, you know, Buddha, would, although while you cannot see, the Buddha would really come to the site of to the site of your practice, and coming there, and then would help you in different ways, and without knowing how things happen, the Buddha would definitely do wonders. If only one has willingness to turn to someone as Buddhas, then Buddhas will not fail. So I'd like to appeal to you to create some time in your day, either in the morning or in the evening or both, away from the TV, half an hour. If we get glued to the TV, the program runs 24/7, and if one became addicted to, you know, to the box, one would miss out on important matters. So spend at least some time thinking about, read and think about processes which help one develop our bodhicitta, or what we call aspiration to Buddhahood for the sake of all beings. And you are in an ideal position. The ways of improvement, and yet if you do not improve and make the most of our potential, the loss is almost irreparable. And the loss is a much greater loss than the loss that ordinary people do suffer, because a lot of them are not aware of their potential. So, people like His Holiness the Dalai Lama and so on, a very busy people, a busy person. He doesn't, he makes sure that his practice never suffers. To this point, he says that he gets up around 3 a.m. in the morning, and then does a daily practice of 8 sadhanas. 8 sadhanas, sadhana means deity yoga manual. They are very exhaustive. So they do find time, while they make time for their practice.
Tāngāntā kēsū tā jīshāng kērī mūsā kōngbā shēnā yā tē yīnā Pāshī kōnglō jāshī chādē chājī nō nē yā shūkē chīsū jū nē sūmbā nē kōntā chīsū ngā wā pātē yā nē Tīndē kāyō nē nyā jī shītā lā nō nē yā nē kōngbā shē sā sā ngā tō nā jī shē bā kāmbā tīndē yā nē
The late Kensu Dōjī chāng, you know, who came here two times, even in his late 80s, he never allowed his practice suffer. He too would get up around about 3 a.m. and apart from light entertainment here and there, he would continue to his practice until 5 in the evening. So, I'm sorry I've taken too much of your time, and what I wanted to stress was, you know, it's all right to listen and get information, but it's better to try to meditate on these sometime, finding time for that. Now, if you have any questions, people who need to leave, you can leave now, thank you. And others can, if anyone has any questions, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. Prayer of dedication, please.
It's okay. Yellow book, page 7, and blue book, page 13.